little bit about Allison and I we're going to talk this morning about willingness, but I would say to you that in the Air Force, in the 32 years we're in the Air Force, we moved 20 times and all over the nation. With each assignment, it was a whole new community. And if she and I weren't both kind of invigorated, if you will, willing to take part in this thing, it would have been really hard to keep the kids motivated. So the idea of willingness, as we talk about important things from marriage, I would say that this united sense of purpose that God was using us as part of a ministry in the Air Force was really, really central. And if you boil it all down, none of it even begins if you're not willing to participate. So the idea of just a very quick lesson, I thought willingness was a great topic. So this one verse, and okay, maybe it's not turned on. Let me see if I turn it on. There's a button here. There it is. Okay, there we go. This one verse actually is Jesus trying to encourage his apostles to stay awake. So that's a good verse for a lesson here. It shouldn't be hard. I only have two slides, but Jesus is going to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he really needs some mutual support. So he's actually asking them to stay awake, and he comes back, and they're asleep, and he says, look, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think when it comes to willingness, that's part of the challenge, is we're semi-motivated to be part of God's purpose and plan for our lives on a Sunday morning. But as we make our way through the week, typically even by Monday, the willingness might start to be lacking. And so we're going to talk a little bit about it. Now, as I think about willingness, you guys also need to know when I was in the Air Force, I actively flew for about 20-plus years. I'm a pilot. One of the airplanes that I was checked out in was a B-52. B-52 has 8 engines. Each of those engines has about a series of 8 or 10 gauges to monitor the health of that engine when it's performing. So multiply that by 8. The cockpit of a B-52 has probably 150 gauges in it. A lot to look at. So it's very important for you to be able to take a quick look and just see whether or not you're there. So I'm using this idea of a gauge, and you all have some things on your table that we'll kind of focus in on. But if I had a willingness meter right here on my forearm, I could kind of tell what my problem is. And I think sometimes we're lacking a little bit of motivation. We're not so excited about what we're doing. And it gets back to your willingness to be part of what God has and has planned for you. And then what is the challenge? What is it that's holding us back from willingness? That's what we want to talk a bit about today. So Matthew 26:41, a great verse, I do believe. For followers of Christ, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And what is it that holds us back from being willing? And it starts, this is really, really important between a married couple. Allison has a friend who came, who she knows from where she works out. And the friend came a week or so ago and told Allison that her husband wants to get a divorce. And as soon as the willingness to keep the marriage together is gone, and it probably waned years before these words came out of his mouth, but it really makes the whole thing hard and very, very difficult. So how do you work together as a couple? We voiced a degree of willingness when we all got married, especially if you had a Christian marriage where you're making vows before God that you're going to be united. There was a lot of willingness made in those vows. And how do we keep that healthy and keep that growing, especially as we walk through God's purpose and plan for our lives? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So here's the pilot gauge, and I just copied this off of line, but I think the marker's about right. I think some mornings you'll wake up, and you might be in the yellow on willingness. You might not be in the green. The first thing you got to do, and it's pretty easy to do, if some of you think you like get up early and maybe have a little bit of time in the Word, the temptation to just stay right there in bed and sleep a little bit longer or hit the snooze is clearly there. And if it's not for some other issues that are motivating you to get out of the bed, your willingness level might be below. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but I got some major areas there. And for Allison and I, there's one verse that we've had, it's got to be at least 20 years out of the 36 that we've been married, at least 20 years, we've had one verse in mind particular, and it's from the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah is having this vision where he is within the presence of God. He says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'" And I can just see this guy that's always wanted to be on the first team in the back row or whatever. He raises his hand. He says, "Here am I. Send me." And so this idea of "here am I, send me" is it's this volunteer. It's this willingness to be part of whatever it is that God has for you. And when we're going from the longest move we had was in from Rhode Island to California. So we had two cars and two kids, and we had a 3,000 mile. So are you willing to do that? So my job was to bring the orders home and say, "Yeah, we just got orders to go to California. Are you willing?" And we could go into stories like that, but we won't get into all the ones like when we're in the middle of some town that doesn't even really, anybody know where Knobnostor, Missouri is at? Yeah, so I got orders to Knobnostor, Missouri one time, and so you get the idea. It takes a little bit to be willing, and it takes a bigger picture that we're doing this because God has us to do it. So down at the bottom, the willingness metric, we're doing a study, our small group's doing a study right now in Philippians, and were you reading a book by Max Licato? And that big thing where the yellow's at is anxieties. And I think we're often over in that anxiety category, which pulls back from our willingness. And Max Licato says, anxiety is often the consequence of perceived chaos. Now, hear that. Think about that. Anxiety is often the consequence of perceived chaos. And he says, to read Paul is to read the words of a man who, in his innermost part, believed in the steady hand of a good God. And if you can think about some of the classic verses out of the writings of Paul, the epistles, you find things like, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. You find things like, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You find things about, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. And you know, it's this whole idea that God's really got a purpose and a plan, and I want to be part of it. Ephesians 2:10, which Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God's prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In the particular study where this is being talked about, Paul's in chains in prison, and he's praising the Lord for what he's doing, because as a prisoner, he's had a chance to witness to the entire Praetorian Guard. So, you know, to have that perspective on your current situation is to remove anxieties. And Max Licato says, to read Paul is to read the words of a man who in his innermost part believed in the steady hand of a good God. And then he says, do you? I think our anxieties are things where we feel that there's some sort of chaos, that things are out of control. And then Max Licato says this, stabilize your soul with the sovereignty of God. Stabilize your soul with the sovereignty of God. If you have this true sense that God's sovereign, then we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And we can work past anxieties that we're going to sense. I think willingness really is this fundamental agreement, our fundamental ingredient, that's pertinent not just for a marriage to work, but it's also pertinent in how we help raise our children. And even more important, if God has your marriage and your family moving down the right path, guess what else he wants you to do? Just help others. Just help others and be looking out to help others. Because the first thing you're going to sense about somebody is an anxiety about one issue or another. And you can certainly help them walk through that. So over in the anxiety stage, I won't go much further down into the red. But the more your anxieties build, the more you can begin to start getting down into the red section. But Paul says, you know, David says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. So David in Psalm 94 talks about the way I battle anxieties is to really get into God's word. And the other reason why I think the flesh is weak is because Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, I look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so this whole idea that many of the apostles walked through, that Christ was going to come and have a worldly kingdom, was all taken away when Christ died and then when he rose again. And then they began to understand that the real purpose of us as Christians is eternal, not temporal. Is that the things we're supposed to focus on is God's eternal plan, not necessarily the temporal challenges that we're facing. And it doesn't mean we don't still face temporal challenges. It just means we're supposed to put them in perspective of what God has from an eternal purpose. So that's getting rid of the chaos by trusting in a sovereign God, a sovereign good God. He's got a purpose and a reason for all that we're going through. I'm going to trust in him, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So that's faith overcoming fear, that spiritual strength. Another example of that would be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you guys all know about that. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you can read the story in Daniel if you want. I'll just reference a couple of verses. They're supposed to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's gods and this idol worship, and they won't do it. And so then the king comes to them and he says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Well, no, the king comes and says, look, if you'll bow down, I'll forgive you guys and you'll be fine. But they said to the king, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I think in today's world, there's a lot of challenges to your Christian faith. And you can really become overcome by the anxieties caused by those challenges. Or you can say, well, look, Peter and John were rounded up for preaching about Christ, and their answers to the people that were charging them with and threatening them physically was, look, whether it's right in your sight for us to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we can't stop speaking of what we have seen and heard. The eternal impact of what was going on in their lives was far more important than the threats of a temporal person. Again, Paul's words, for me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul really wasn't afraid of death, and he was actually saw it as a gateway for him to move into eternity and be with the Lord. So these are the types of things that move us from one to the other. Now, I talk about things seen, things not seen, and give you a couple examples. Now you can look at the chart in front of you. It's got a lot of fine print that you can't read up there. That's why I put everybody's got one on their table. But let's just say we're starting to edge into the green. It doesn't mean we're all in. And what's this term all in? You know, in the military, the term of all in means I'm all in. I'm ready to trust you with, you know, you got my back, I got your back. No matter what kind of threats we face, I'm all in. And I think that's a great, great personification of this concept of willingness to participate. But that's just from a physical world. Paul uses the concept of being a soldier for Christ. And I actually think he was greatly influenced by the Praetorian Guard. When he was witnessing to them, he was learning a lot from them because he wasn't raised as a soldier. But he uses this thought of being a soldier for Christ. And I do think I've learned a lot from my military perspective that is very applicable in the spiritual. Very applicable in the spiritual. So, and you guys that have been in the military know what I'm talking about. So, give a couple of examples on this. If we're just starting to move into the green, I really like the one that's up there about the boy's father. Here's the father who has a son who's got problems. And the problems are so severe. The father's probably had a lot of anxieties about the son for many years. And he hears about this healer named Jesus. And so he brings the son who has convulsions and all sorts of other issues to the father. And I think the son even goes into some sort of seizure or whatever about the time that they're seeing Jesus. And so the father says, if you can do anything, please help us. And Jesus looks at him and says, if. And and then immediately the father says, oh, I do believe. Help my unbelief. So just getting into the green means it doesn't mean all the anxieties are gone. It doesn't mean the faith's strong. It just means that it's strong enough that I'm trying to step out in faith. Oh, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And that's when you get orders to Knobnoster, Missouri. You might say, well, I do believe. Help my unbelief. or when the kids are having problems, getting adjusted into a brand new school that they've not been in before, and they got to make new friends. Oh, I do believe. Help my unbelief. You got a plan here, Lord. We can work through this. You know, so I think that's one that I'm really, really impressed by. I truly am impressed by as a the more you grow, you don't always mature, but hopefully, as Christians, as we grow older, we do mature, and if we mature, we grow in godliness. But I think perhaps the youngest person in the Bible, I don't know this for a fact, but one of the youngest people in the Bible is Mary, when she's told that she's going to have a baby. And for Mary to respond with such faith, and that's in Luke, she says, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me as you have said, according to your word." For Mary to really have that responsiveness to God, she was really a willing servant. And it is very impressive for a young woman of that age to be that willing, because if you think about it, she didn't have the whole big, I mean, we know the whole gospel. She didn't know the whole gospel. She just knew that her relationship with Joseph was at risk. Nobody was going to believe her that she was a virgin, Mary. Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, okay, explain that one. Lots of challenges that went on with Mary. And for her to be that responsive, I think, is really a tremendous statement of faith. Isaiah is what I've already quoted, is, "Here am I, send me." That's a great verse I really think that's a great verse to think about, because God gives us challenges every day and allows us to have challenges. Some of them to help us grow our character. Some of them are really the product of some of our bad moves, and he's trying to teach us about our bad moves and things that we need to improve in. Those are two different categories. Job went through some tribulations, but I also think there was part of that God wanted to refine Job's character even further than it was. He was a very good man, but he had room to grow. So God does that in our lives. Sometimes character development, sometimes the product of our own doing. We mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, and mentioned Peter and John. But Joseph, you know, think about, we've been talking in Genesis for quite some time, but Mike is getting to the point where in a couple weeks he's going to talk about Genesis 50. And he has already mentioned it, that Joseph had a godly perspective to the point that he really did convincingly tell his brothers, "Look, you sold me into slavery for evil. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that many lives would be preserved." And for Joseph, that was really critical for Joseph to share that, because his brothers were really worried that he was going to kill him. Because he was in a position of power, and he could have done that. And he could have done that. And he could have held it over their heads, and he could have done all sorts of things. But he said to them, "Look, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. I'm not worried about what you did. I'm worried about what God's doing." And that's a pretty powerful statement of willingness to serve. And that was through a lot of hardships. He could have been very bitter. He spent many years in jail in some pretty desperate conditions. It's really a testimony of his willingness. So, I mean, if we had a little gauge right here that was red, yellow, green, where would your gauge be? And what I'm always praying is, I do pray Mark 9:24 many times, I do believe, help my unbelief, but the idea is to move over, all the way over towards the bottom. And Esther is a great example of that too. Esther really was in a good position. You know, who wouldn't want to be the queen, right? I don't want to be a queen, but you get the idea. Having a pretty luxurious life compared to the rest of the people. And she was putting it all at risk. Do I really need to do this, Mordecai? And it really is good. She said, "Go assemble all the Jews and fast for me for 3 days. And I and my maidens will also fast in the same way. And thus I will go to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I die, I die." What a powerful statement. Think about all the things that she's putting at risk in order to do, to be faithful. And I think that's what God calls us to do sometimes. Is what is it that you really value the most? Is it your house? Is it your car? Is it your job? Is it what God would have you to do? And she was willing to put it all at risk. And Jesus is, as obviously, the ultimate example. Of course, that's the Sunday book school answer. But he says, you know, my Father, in these verses right on that we talked about the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, Jesus says, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." In verse 39, he says, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. And boy, that's a tough one also, is that when we really have a sense that, look, this is going to be really hard. I really don't want to tackle this. Yet not my will, but your will be done. That's pretty powerful. And if you blend together what you read in Matthew 26, which is an initial reticence might be too big of a word, but an initial reticence to go down this path because Jesus knows all that's going to happen. And then you go over to John 17 where he's now past that point and he does understand that this is God's will for him to walk down this path. The chosen one, the chosen one's path is to go through some brutal, pretty brutal torture and die in order that he might save us all. And by John 17, if you read that, then you read about how he's got God's perspective on what's about to happen. And that's where he talks about I and them and thou and me, that they may be perfected in unity. And where God's got, Jesus the Son of God has this big macro perspective about us all. And there's a lot more we could talk about on that. So the last verse that's on there, the love of Christ controlling us. Paul starts, I mentioned earlier, about don't look at the things which are seen, but look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. And if you keep reading through that, you get into 2 Corinthians 5 where he says that we're new creatures created in Christ Jesus. And the old has passed away, the new has come. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, he says, the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that we should no longer live for ourselves, but that we should live for him who died and rose again on our behalf. Now that's the ultimate in willingness. So I think willingness has been critical not only for our marriage across 36 years. I would say we're both all in at this point, right? Sure. Actually, because we still love each other. It's not just a matter of commitment, but we have a great marriage. We're both all in. And even after the Air Force, we don't have to do 20 moves, no more moves, God willing. We're in one place. But it's all in through aging. It's all in through struggles. You know, your kids, when they move out of the house, it's not the end of struggles. You have 20-somethings and 30-somethings that are not necessarily making all the choices you think would be best. And you want to help them, but they might not want your help. You know, and you got life challenges that go on. It doesn't stop. It just changes shape. You know, I can't run as fast as I used to run. I can't do things I used to do, right? It just happens. You know, I'm not a 20-something or a 30-something. So life just changes. But God's got a plan. His plan does not run out. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So we're all in, and that's what this is all about. I thought about, last thing I want to say is Jesus told in Luke 10, he tells a story about the Good Samaritan. And so I think one translation of the Good Samaritan would be, I'm the beaten up guy on the side of the road, and Jesus is a Good Samaritan that comes help me. But you can also be that Levite or the priest that walks away on the other side of the road and for whatever reason doesn't want to get involved. How's your willingness? These are some good questions for you.